All right, let's have all the choir come on and get in the choir. We'll start the service in about 3 minutes. Thank you.
what the season's all about. Take your hymnals now. And this is kind of an unusual Christmas song, 145. It's tucked in the middle of our Christmas carols, but I love to tell the story. And it's all about that whole story. Let's stand and sing 145 together. I love to tell the story.
Think about Silent Night and all the Christmas carols, and then they sing that song, and it kind of grabs your attention. Wait, that doesn't sound like anything I've heard, until they start listening to the words, and then they get the gospel message. And so we're grateful for that. And good to see you here this morning. We've got some visitors here. We'll recognize them in a moment. But let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time and ask His blessing upon the service. Then when we're through praying, you may be seated in the congregation, and the choir will sing another number. All right. Brother Stephen Todd, how about you pray for us, would you please?
6 o'clock, but our choir will be putting on our Christmas music. So I want you to invite folks. We need all of you here because all of them will be up here. We need some folks to sing to. So be inviting, inviting your friends and relatives. Maybe they only come to church once a year. Let that be the time. Okay. So next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, come and listen to the choir. Support them as they sing. Right now, let's stand. We're going to give them a chance to come down and let's shake hands with everybody around you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning. And it's Christmas time, so everything is aimed at Christmas. It's a week from Wednesday, no matter how you cut it. So it's going to be here before you know it. Now, of course, we'll have service this tonight at 5:30. The service next Sunday night's at 6, 30 minutes later than usual, because we want to let other people have opportunity to come. And it is going to be the choir, so we want everybody to be able to come and be here at a good hour. And so just remember that, even though our normal time is 5:30. So just remember, keep that in mind. Now, tonight we'll be back here at 5:30, of course, for our evening service. And the children are going to put on their play. Now, this is a production. I mean, this is not a little sing-along. I mean, they were going all out. We were practicing last night. And Judy and I came in to do something, and they were practicing, and they have sound effects. Yeah, I guess you're going to, right? So we came in and sat down, and I don't want to give the play away, but they had sticks in their hand whacking at windows and a piece of cardboard, and all of a sudden, I heard glass shatter. I thought, Lord, have mercy, somebody knocked a window out in here. Then I heard somebody say, only hit the window once. The glass had quit shattering, though, so... Oh, I got it then. Thank the Lord. I was about to have two strokes and a heart attack because we just got the other window fixed that got broke. So, Lord, not again. I'm telling you, this thing's going to be right. They were right when we left, they were up practicing one of their songs. I mean, they're singing with all they got. You are going to enjoy this children's program. So that'll start at 5. That'll be the service tonight. It's a little over 30 minutes long. So we'll sing some music and we'll have a good time. We'll let them have the service tonight. And I think you're going to enjoy it. So invite somebody to come. Just like we said about the adult choir. Invite, if you know somebody, you know, a lot of times they'll react well to children, you know, sometimes even better than they do adults. But you invite your friends to come and be part of that. Number one, they'll do a good job. Number two, you never know what's going to happen in a live performance. So you want to be here for that. But we're excited about that. Appreciate the ladies that worked with them and the kids that are doing a good job in the practice last night. I'll mention a couple of things real quickly myself. Remember, Brother Don Alvarado has a landlord. His landlord is in the hospital with pneumonia, Coley Faust. I told him we'd remember him in prayer. Please do that. A couple of announcements I'm going to make real quickly. The Low Country Fellowship, you remember we had it last year. We're having it again in January. It's on the 13th, second Monday in January. Last year, man, we had almost 200 folks in here and had a great, great day all day long. The night service that we had, what it is, several of the preachers and churches in this area get together once a month on the second Monday, and we just had preaching and singing. And we have three preachers in the afternoon. We'll start at 3 o'clock that day. And we'll have three preachers that afternoon. We'll break for supper. Now, we do not have a fellowship hall, so we'll break at 5 o'clock so that they'll have plenty of time to go find a place to grab something to eat, then be back here at 7 o'clock for the evening service. And I can tell you that Brother Brian Gurley is going to preach for us at night. Brother Brian is now on deputation or getting ready to start full-time in January, raising support to go to Sri Lanka. And we love Brother Brian Gurley and his family, and we have great revivals when they're here. And so I just want to mark that down. That's the 13th. We want the choir to be here that night. We want our special music to be available. And let's have a good time in the Lord on the 13th of January. So that's still a ways off, but I want to kind of get that in your head. Also, the poinsettias. We have 10 left of the poinsettias. If you want to place one in honor or memory of someone, you can do that. You write down the name. If they're passed away, it'll be in memory. If they're still living, in honor. We've got 10. They're $12.50 a piece. That's what we paid for them, so we're not making any money off of them. You get and they're big, beautiful poinsettias. You get the poinsettia, you get the little cup they're sitting in, you know, if you want to take it home. We'll read the names next Sunday. Then after the morning service, if you want to take your flower home, you can. If you want to leave it next Sunday night so it'll be decorative for Sunday night service with the choir, you can do that. Whatever you want to do. If you buy it, it's yours. You do with it whatever you want to, and that'll be fine. But we've got 10 of them left. So if you want to do that, you need to see Miss Edame Hale. Write down, be sure and write, don't tell her, write it down and say in honor or memory of whoever. And it can be multiple names if you want to do it that way. It's fine. And then the poinsettia, and then give her the $12.50 when you give her the name. And then the poinsettia is yours after the Christmas service is concluded, okay? So keep that in mind. All right. That's all I have right now. I'll mention something when we take up the offering here in just a minute.
All right. All right. Still going strong with all the Christmas events. So here's what we got. The pastor mentioned the program tonight at 5:30 for the kids. They're practicing at 4:30. So you young people, make sure you're here at 4:30 for your final practice, your final run through. And then we'll have a good time tonight listening to that. The midweek service, of course, this week at 7 o'clock as usual. Our church Christmas party is this Friday, the 20th, 6:30 p.m. here at the church. The theme is they hung their stockings by the chimney with care. I think I got it. So if you're coming and want to participate, a $10 or less gift with a sock theme of some kind for exchange. And I think the ladies already know the menu, so that's all taken care of. But that's open to anybody who wants to come this Friday at 6:30 p.m. Then, of course, the cantata for the adult choir next Sunday, 6 o'clock p.m. In addition to the we're practicing this afternoon at 4:15. One more time for a 4:15 practice this afternoon choir. And then we'll have practice next Saturday, very important, 10 o'clock in the morning. We need all the choir to be here for that on this coming Saturday as well. Don't forget about these ways that you can help bring some Christmas cheer to some folks. The Christmas card box is back there. If you still ain't got the list, is it still down here? The list is still down here. If you want to save on some postage, you can just put anybody for here in the church, not anybody outside the church. We're not going to mail them for you. Anybody here in the church, you want to put their Christmas card in this box back here by the back door of the church. And then those will be put in the right people's seats on next Sunday. So make sure you have those cards in here if you want to participate in that. And then the children's home. All names for the children have been accounted for. And so those gifts are due next Sunday, the 22nd. And also don't forget about the box back here for the needs for the home. The list that went around last Sunday for that purpose. Susan has more of those lists if you need that. That's things that the children's home up there in Greenville desperately needs. You can be a blessing to those young folks up there in Greenville, South Carolina, if you participate in that this year.
All right, real quickly, if I forgot to recognize the visitors, I didn't mean not to do that. Where's Brenda? We might want to move that Christmas card box over here because Brian referred to that as the back door. It's really the front door. Not too many people use the front door. We use the side door here. So you might want, maybe that'll help them to find it easier if you move it out here. And that'll be good. All right. We're glad to have Mr. Mars here with us today. Mr. Mars lives in the area here. Tell me your first name again, sir. Raymond. Mr. Raymond Mars. He lives in the neighborhood here and he came by to visit. We're glad to have him today. Appreciate so much him being here. And then good to have Mr. Richardson back with us. And he visited with us Wednesday night. And he's back here today on Sunday. And we're so glad to have him here. Do you live in Green Springs? Oh, back this way. That's right. On Brickyard. Right down Brickyard Road here. That's right. So glad to have him back with us again. So good to have these folks. And everybody else, I think, is home folks. I'm kind of scanning. And everybody looks like home folk. Be sure to continue praying for Sister Christy. She'll be having some tests and then trying to get some results on the problem with her thyroid she's having. And Naraya had a little accident today and cut her finger. And she got Band-Aids all over, I'm telling you. She dropped a mason jar and it cut her. But she's okay, got a little Band-Aid on there, but we're glad she's all right. And then Miss Judy had to leave, and this doesn't happen very often, but she ran out of blood pressure medicine about 3 or 4 days ago and didn't realize the effect. And I'm telling you, she's had a hard night, and so she got up with a doctor, her doctor, who actually called, and she's gone to get it. She'll be back here. She's got to get it and get it in her system. It'll help relieve that really bad headache she has with that high blood pressure. So anyway, I know some of you saw her leaving and asked, and she'll be back, I think, hope. Don't think she's just going to pack up and leave, but she should be back. But anyway, that's the reason why that she left, okay? All right, continue to pray for Sabine out in Oregon. Continue to pray for her and Jimmy and Rhonda Hale, Bruce Michalski, these folks that we've been missed. Ramona's at home. Her leg is still giving her a lot of trouble, and I'm afraid that might be something she'll just have to deal with. She's been to the doctor several times, and there's really not a whole lot they can do for her. And anyway, you pray for her because it really gets her down sometime. So remember that in prayer as well, okay? All right, Brother Jim.
142. Let's stand again. We'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, 142. before the offering, we're going to have the Starling family. We've got two specials today. We're going to have the Starling family come and sing right before the offering.
He's not full. Trust us, he's not. Y'all would. Y'all pray for us. We got word this morning when we were getting in our car that my grandma, they took her to the hospital, Grandma Caldwell. She's got congestive heart failure. So it seems like always this time of year something goes on, but it seems like every year something worse. If y'all would, y'all just pray for her. I'd really appreciate that. And God's been good to us no matter what, right? And but we were able to go spend some time yesterday with Grandma and Granddaddy at their house making some fudge and just go spend some quality time with them. We get that phone call this morning. I just let you know that you never know when the last time you're going to see somebody that you love. You never know when you're going to you're going to step out of this world. I was talking about that this morning in Sunday school. I hope that everybody here is saved.
Yeah.
I hope that you are.
Right.
I know I am, because July 17, 2005 is whenever I made my calling and election sure. So I keep telling our youth that you just never know. I hope you're saved. I pray that you are. You know, you just need to make sure you're right with God, ready to meet Him today, because today could be the day that He calls you home. So either go to heaven or hell, one or the other. I'm glad I know where I'm going. But y'all just keep praying for Grandma and Granddaddy. Amen.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
beautiful star
of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter He will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Have the ushers to come forward. We're going to go ahead and take our offering, and then we'll have our second special. Now, while the ushers are going through, they have with them, and Brother Rick, some there, brother, the faith promise cards that we ask everyone to get, every member. Now, if you're not a member and you want to participate, that's up to you. We'd like every member to participate in our faith promise for 2020. Again, for those who don't know, that's how we support our missions here, our missionaries. We all fill out a card that we will give so much every week, every month, every 2 weeks, however you want to do that. And there are amounts on there. You can write an amount in. This is above and beyond your tithe. And we do this every month, and this is how we support our missionaries. This year, we started out at a number, and it actually grew during the year. So we're able to add, we're going to start being able to take on more missionaries. And that's really the point of faith promise. It's all about getting the gospel out to all the world, as Jesus told his disciples. And since we can't do it personally, we can do it financially. That's what missions are all about. And so they're going to give you one of these cards. You don't have to fill it out today unless you want to. But we're going to December the 29th, the last Sunday of the year, is when we will collect these cards. Now, you can or don't have to put your name on it even. If you want record of your giving, you'll need to put your name on there. But this is a promise that you are making between you and God. I'm going to give this much, and it, and what you're doing is you're asking God, you're putting faith in God, if I pledge X amount of dollars, even though it might be hard to do sometime, you're believing that God is going to keep his promise and provide it. So you put your faith in God, and then he in turn is the promise to you. You'd be surprised not only how much you can give, but during the year how you can increase your giving. Judy and I have had that privilege this year, and, you know, we're thank God for it. And we hope to give more, and that's the way it works. So they're going to give you one of these cards. You just read through it, look at it, pray over it. Not asking you to give out of your necessity necessarily. We do want you to pray, and then anytime tonight, next Sunday, anytime the offering plate goes by, we'll tear the little card off that you put the amount on and just drop it in the plate. And then that way Brother Steve will get it. Then by the end of the year, we'll have an idea what our faith promise for 2020 will be. Okay? So please pray about it. Take one and fill it out and put it back in there between now and the end of the year. Okay? All right. Father, we love you, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord today. God, we do pray that you'll bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. Lord, we ask that God's people will earnestly pray and give for faith promise. Lord, it's all about God said, trust me. Try me and prove me. So, Lord, there are times when we can say, God, I'm going to do this, but you're going to have to provide it. And that's all God wants to hear. But the Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. So, Father, we may think when we give X amount of dollars above our tithe that, hey, might be a struggle sometime. It might be a sacrifice. If we'll be faithful to do it, God in his word said, I'll give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what God said. That's why we do the faith promise giving. I pray not only for the gift and the giver for the regular offering today, but that you lead and guide the folks to give to missions so that we can get these missionaries out around the world to preach the gospel to every creature. We love you. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for everyone that's gathered here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
things that made the birth of Christ, they became big things. Sang about a little town of Bethlehem. Last week in my Sunday school class, I challenged Brother Aaron to teach Christmas lesson about Ruth. A lot of times you don't think about Ruth in the Christmas lesson. Then a couple years ago, Brian wrote a song about Simeon. Whoever thought about Simeon in the Christmas story? We don't celebrate him, but he taught the lesson today about it, explained all about the song. You listen now as the trio sings.
Simeon received a promise according to God's plan, that he wouldn't die until he saw Messiah come to man. Israel was lost in darkness, no hope was in sight, but faithfully he waited for the light. Then one day in the temple, he heard the Spirit's voice calling him toward the Christ of a tiny baby boy. As he took the child into his arms, the praise began to flow. With joy, he proclaimed the truth so all the world would know. He's the one the prophet said would come. He's the one, God's precious Holy Son. The Savior of the world is here, His child of Bethlehem, the Lamb of God to worship and adore. That's Him, the one I've waited for. Wandering in a world of darkness, sorrows pierce us through. At times it even seems that God is hidden from our view. But child of God, we have a promise that we can rest within. Take courage and be faithful till the end. For one day soon we'll sound a trumpet calling us to rise out of this old world of sin, meeting loved ones in the sky. But the greatest treasure I'll receive, my soul is longing for, is that moment when my eyes behold the face of my Lord. Bled and died for me, and He's the one who set the sinner free. Together at His feet we'll bow for all eternity, to crown His King of Kings forevermore. That's Him, the one I've waited for. Together at His feet we'll bow for all eternity, to crown a King of Kings forevermore. Let Him, the one I've waited for.
Points to Jesus. Get your Bibles ready now. Listen, Pastor Cobb.
Amen. Thank you, Trio. Thank you, Starling family. And thank you for being in the service tonight. Matthew chapter 1, if you'll turn there quickly. The book of Matthew chapter number 1.
And this is Matthew's account of the Christmas story. It's only found in two of the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke. Mark and John deal more directly with his adult ministry. But we get enough from Matthew and Luke that we can be assured how the birth of Christ and how all of that came about. And although it's not quite, it seems to me, now maybe I'm wrong, and I try to be pretty observant of things, but I have not seen or heard as much over the last couple of years as I have in years previous about Xmas. I remember many years ago, it seemed like that just permeated everything. Merry Xmas. And people say, well, that's all the room I have on my window. Well, why don't they put Merry Christ X? Isn't it amazing the word that the one that they X out was Christ? The whole point of the holiday. It's not Merry Santamas, Ben, or Merry Presentmas. It's Merry Christmas, and even though it's pronounced in a different sort of way, no question, the first part of the word is Christ. I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought, putting Christ back to Christmas. Putting Christ back into Christmas. Chapter 1, we begin reading in verse number 18, is page 994, if you have a Schofield Bible. Would you stand with me, please, as we read together just a few verses? I'll pray, and then I'll give you the message home. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Again, this is Matthew's account, but really, it's God telling the story through Matthew. The Bible said in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise. And as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, he thought there was going to be a lot of backlash over his fiancée being pregnant and them not married. The other thing, I mentioned this at the men's lunch yesterday, you imagine how Joseph must have responded when Mary first told him and he knew he wasn't the father? But see, the Bible said here he was a just man. I believe he loved Mary enough, under normal circumstances, under normal human circumstances, would have loved her anyway. I thank God in responding to Joseph's righteousness. Look at the next verse. But while he thought on those things, I guarantee you, when Judy and I were engaged and she came and told me that she was expecting a child and I wasn't the father, but that God was the father, I'd have been thinking on them things. Oh, now you know you would. Look what it said. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus pre-incarnate. Only Jesus can show up while he's pregnant in a lady and a young virgin and still appear to Joseph. And the Bible said he appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And friend, that if you don't believe that, you are not saved. You can profess Christ all you want to. You can believe in his perfect life, his perfect death, his resurrection. But if you don't believe he was virgin born, then you have put your faith in just some girl that's having a youngin. Some of the versions of the Bible have changed the word virgin to young woman. There's nothing miraculous about a young woman having a baby. It happens all the time. This is the only time it ever happened without the use of a human father. And so God basically tells Mary, hey, don't worry about it, Joseph. I got it under control. And she shall bring forth a son, verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice he named himself. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And of course, that's Isaiah 7:14. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus. Father, we love you today, and we're thankful that we know who Jesus is. God, he is the reason. It's very cliche. Lord, here at the house of God, here at Anchor Baptist Church, we believe it with all of our heart that he is the reason for the season. There'd be no reason to have Christmas if there was no Christ. So, Father, I'm thankful that we can enjoy what we enjoy at this time of the year not because of all the human, temporal, peripheral things, because we know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts today and help us never to leave Christ out of Christmas. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, here in the text that I just read, three times Jesus is mentioned. One time he's referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. So it's pretty obvious in a very short text who God is trying to focus on. Through Matthew, it's about Jesus. Everywhere we look in society today, Christ has been crowded out of Christmas. Now, again, it doesn't seem to be as much as there was a period of time spent many years ago where it seemed like everybody was focused on getting out. But I'm thankful that we're in a bit of a lull in that, and I'm not saying it won't happen again. Most of the popular Christmas songs, and I like Christmas songs. I like all of them. I like the carols, and I like the secular songs, as long, you know, I'm talking about the normal ones, not the rock and roll stuff and all that. I don't care for any of that. But what you should notice immediately when you're listening to temporary music or temporal music as opposed to the Christmas carols, there's always something missing usually in those worldly songs, and that's Christ. You know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, that's good. Grandma got run over by a reindeer, okay. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I mean, there are some people that are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, and they'll find fault in everything. I'm not saying that some of it is, you got to be careful though when you're listening to temporal music, because it can certainly infiltrate your mind with things that are not right, as we learned in Sunday school this morning in the auditorium class about things being said that aren't right. You got to be careful. Let me ask you this. How many birthdays have you been to, yours or anybody else's, where you had to struggle to identify whose birthday it was? Get an invitation in the mail. We're having a birthday party. You show up. Whose birthday is it? Well, I don't know. We just thought we'd have a birthday party. But somebody's birthday? Well, yeah, we got somebody in mind, but decided to remove them. We decided to take their name off the invitation. And the banner says, happy birthday, blank. Decided to take their name off there because we didn't want to be pushy. You don't ever hear that. And yet, when you go around this world, Christ is removed, and their excuse is, well, we don't want to be pushy. Young people, you wouldn't have 2 weeks out of school if it wasn't for Christ. Folks that work public jobs wouldn't get that 3 or 4 day weekend if it wasn't for Christ. Come on now. You wouldn't get that Christmas bonus if it wasn't for Christ, if you get one. You wouldn't be able to give out those Christmas gifts if it wasn't for Christ. Are you getting it? It's sad that the one time of the year when the world ought to be recognizing who it is we're celebrating their birthday, and yet we don't want to be pushy. Well, let me be the first to say I'm going to be pushy. I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is. And I'm thankful that He is the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. He is the anointed. Christ means anointed one. He is the anointed one. He was announced in Isaiah. He was announced in Micah. He was announced in Matthew and brought forward in Luke. I mean, listen, Jesus was planned. Christmas was planned. By the way, in case you're wondering, so was Easter. Thought I'd throw that in. Got a few months before that comes along, but I like Easter too. I'm glad He came to live, and I'm glad He died, and I'm glad He's still alive. Amen. That's the gospel message. May we never, as I mentioned in the prayer, be guilty of crowding Christ out of Christmas. Let me just give you a couple of things here that when Christ is in Christmas. And we keep Christ in Christmas, and I'm going to use Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2. So you might want to find Luke chapter 2 and kind of stick your finger in there, and we'll kind of move back and forth through there. I've got other scriptures that I'll just read to you that I've written down for time's sake. Stick your finger in Luke chapter 2 and also in Matthew chapter 1 where we just read. We'll be jumping around a little bit, but to just keep your finger there. Number one, I want you to notice when Christ is in Christmas, there is room. We all know in Matthew chapter 2, just look there since your finger is there, look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the ether come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. These wise men are searching for Jesus somewhere. We know the story, don't we? Go to Luke chapter 2. Just flip right over and hold your place. Luke chapter 2. You know what happened? They get to Bethlehem, verse 7. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Physically speaking, all the rooms were taken. All the hotels were full. All the bed and breakfasts were full. Airbnbs were all full. And the only place left, a stable. Not the ideal place for a baby to be born. But we have to understand that God was not going to let Jesus be born and die of a disease or catch some kind of illness from being around animals, because God promised that he would come to die on the cross, not in a manger. Now, it's true that Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and we know that swaddling clothes are basically death clothes. When a baby, someone died, we might call it for an adult a shroud. But in those Bible times, they were called, especially for infants and children, swaddling clothes. Why would Mary, I'm sure she could have found a nice blanket to wrap him in, something with blue in it, you know, for a boy. I don't know if they had baby showers back then or gender reveal parties. I doubt it. I'm sure she could have found something nicer than what everybody recognized immediately as death clothes. He was perfectly healthy. Well, see, the point is that God sent him to die on the cross. I say when Christ is in Christmas, there is room. For one, there's room in your heart. There ought to be. If you're not saved, you need to make room in your heart for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's room in our hearts. When Christ is in Christmas, there's room in our homes. I think back to, Judy and I were talking yesterday about Christmases past, and of course I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but they were good Christmases, you know, that focused mainly on what the world considers to be Christmas. Then all of a sudden, Jesus came into our house. Mother got right with the Lord. My dad got saved. All of a sudden, Christmas was different in our house. Suddenly, what we thought was Christmas was a byproduct. It was a peripheral thought. But all of a sudden, here's my dad who a year before was a drunkard and hated God, and he got saved. And on Christmas morning, my dad, in very broken sort of reading because he only had a third grade education, but he read to us for the first time ever in our house the Word of God, and he read Luke chapter 2. I'll never forget that. And listen, when Christ is in Christmas, there's room. Your heart, or there should be. There's room in your home. Man, how good that can be. And then number three, there's room in our heritage. What I mean by that is simply that, just like Brother Stephen talked about this, we were teaching in Titus about subverting whole houses, meaning the family. Well, listen, when Christ is in Christmas, it didn't just pass down to my dad, my mother, and my three brothers, who, by the way, my two brothers just recently got saved, both in their 50s. So thank God the circle is not unbroken now. But guess what? From that came my wife and children, my brother's wife and children, my other brother. And now, even though they're not all Christians, they know who Jesus is. Because there's room, when there was room in our heart, and there was room in our home, there'll be room in your heritage. Your family members down the line will remember, hey, so-and-so knew something about Jesus. We didn't agree with it. We might not even have wanted it. They sure knew who Jesus was. You see, when Christ is in Christmas, there is room. Notice number two quickly. Look at Luke chapter 2. When Christ is in Christmas, there is joy. Chapter 2 in the text there. I took my finger out of there and I shouldn't have, so I got to get to it. Luke chapter, I'm in Mark. That's not right. I'll get to it. Here we go. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible said. Where is it? There it is. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord. By the way, the same one that met Joseph in his dream. Angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born, and this is the joy. The joy is not the toy you wanted. The joy is not the car you wanted. Joy is not the house being lit up with lights. Joy is not the Christmas dinner. the joy, the Lord himself said, and here's the joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How about that? And Christ was added to the text, just so you know that it was Christmas morning. And there's, when Christ is in Christmas, there's room. When Christ is in Christmas, there's joy. Let me give you this quickly. The Bible said there can be joy unspeakable. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, sometimes it gets so good, you can't hardly say anything about it. Like the old country preacher said, it gets dooder and dooder and tweeter. Amen? I'm telling you, sometimes that's it is. It's not just joy unspeakable. Listen, and I look these words up so I know they're real English words. And when I think of them, I have to look, make sure I'm not babbling. It's not just joy unspeakable, but it's joy untakeable. John chapter 16 and verse 22, and ye know therefore, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Hallelujah. And listen, the whole world can say I'm a goof because I'm a Christian, but they can't take my Savior away. They can't take my salvation away. They can't take my future away. And they can't take my joy away unless I hand it to them. If I want to live outside of God's will and word, I've handed my joy. I want to stomp all over. Thank God that Jesus said, I'm coming back. That when I do, no man will be able to take your joy from you. Hallelujah. So that joy is unspeakable. It's untakeable. And listen, it's unrestrictable. On chapter 16, verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. See, a lot of times we restrict God's movement in our life. We want him to go this far, but not all the way. We're drawing the line for God not to cross. That's not the way it should be. If you really want to enjoy Christmas, give him all of you. Erase any lines. Just get in the sand, take your foot, and scratch them lines away. Say, God, you got the whole thing. That joy can be unspeakable, untakeable, and unrestrictable. So when there's room, Christ is in Christmas, there's room. When Christ is in Christmas, there's joy. Number three, when Christ is in Christmas, there is peace. Chapter 2 and verse 13, look what the Bible said there. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I tell you, that peace, that's peace that only comes from Christ being in Christmas. The Bible says, for example, in Romans 5 and verse 1, you can have peace with God. The Bible said in Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he and I are on speaking terms. Not because I'm a good guy, not because he's a great God, but because we have Christ Christmas. Because he's my mediator. He's my advocate. The go-between. He's the one who died on the cross for me. Not an ex. Not only do we have peace with God, but we have the peace of God. That's directed at you personally and me personally. The Bible said in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, notice, through Christ. There you go. You see, Christ, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice we can have the peace from God. The very Christ Jesus himself said in John 14, 27, peace I give unto thee, not the peace that the world gives give I unto thee. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I've got peace with God. He and I are on speaking terms. I'm glad I've got the peace of God. That's God doing things for me that I can't do for myself. And then I have the peace from God that's there when I'm not even sure it's there. And Jesus said, I'll give it to you. And mine is better than what the world can give. We all know that what we get from God is eternal. When we were kids, me and my brothers, listen, God knows it's true. I mean, we'd get those gifts, and by lunchtime that afternoon, most of them were broken. My son wants to remind me and his uncle, he got one of those remote control cars one year, and me and Jeff wanted to show him how to work it. You know, he's a kid. You know, he don't know what he's doing. I said, give me that. I'll show you how to work it. Wham! Right into the side of the church building. I said, why'd you do that, Andrew? He said, man, you broke my toy. And my brother was right there, Jeff, the youngest one, right there with me, until it ran into the side of the building, and man, he scattered a cockroach in sunlight. Well, I had to take the blame because I had the remote in my hand. So that's just the way, stuff here can, that's how long it lasts sometimes. The peace of God is there forever. When there's Christ in Christmas. Let me give you two more and I'll be through. Notice when there's Christ in Christmas, there's boom. When Christ is in Christmas, there's joy. When Christ is in Christmas, there's peace. But then notice, both in Matthew 2 and Luke chapter 2, when there's Christ in Christmas, there is faith. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, and notice, saying, where is he? They had heard about this, and they were looking for him. Now, we know that in Luke, Herod kind of gets these guys together and say, you know, go find him. Come back and tell me where he's at. Now, Herod said, I want to worship him. No, he didn't. He wanted to kill him because he heard that he was the king of the Jews. And Herod said, not on my watch. By the way, that's a direct correlation to what happened in Exodus. Had all the male children, 2 years old and under, killed in Egypt, and Moses was spared. The same command that Herod made. Because the wise men who believed in Jesus and brought him those gifts, not go back and report to Herod. So Herod made a decree, I want every male child in Israel, 2 years old and under, killed. Well, they didn't. In the meantime, the angel that spoke to Joseph earlier in a dream came back and said, get your family, go down to Egypt, and hang around down there until I tell you to come back. When there's Christ in Christmas, there is a faith in his miraculous birth. I mentioned that earlier. It's a virgin birth. It is the virgin birth. Never been another one. Science can say that, and I've actually heard scientists who are involved in this in vitro fertilization. I'm not sure if all that stuff's okay or not, but I'm not talking about that today. I've actually heard those guys doing that and cloning say that they have created a virgin birth. Got news for you, honey. That's a lie. There's only one virgin birth, and that was Mary birthing Jesus Christ. There's faith in his miraculous birth, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Not only faith in his miraculous birth, but there must be faith in his matchless death. A lot of folks have died. It's Adam and Eve. Nobody's died like he's died. You say, well, man, are you celebrating death? No, but I'm recognizing his. Because if it wasn't for his death, this story would be of no value, and being here would be a waste of time. Because a perfect God who came in flesh and then did not die for us, left us without hope. I'm glad he went all the way to Calvary. His matchless. There are people all over the world that try to imitate and emulate. I mean, to the point of actually allowing themselves, almost to the point of actual crucifixion, because they're religious zealots. They'll let people nail them to a cross as though somehow that was going to impress God. I'm telling you, that doesn't impress God. The only one that did was when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's the one that impressed him, and that's the one that saves us from our sin. You've got to have faith in his miraculous birth, matchless death, and of course, faith in his mandatory resurrection. Because a dead God can't do anything. A dead person is dead. He can't do anything for you. You have memories. He can't do anything for you. And yet the Bible tells me that my Lord not only is sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us, but he's praying for us. He's blessing us. He's answering prayer for us. He's doing things for us that we can't even do for ourselves. It sounds like a dead person to me. Sounds like a live one. It's May of 1987. I've never asked my dad for a thing. That's when he died. I know he couldn't do anything for me. I've asked Jesus for things all my life. And he said, ask and ye shall receive. Boy, I sure wish my parents remembered that, knew that Bible verse when we went through the Sears Roebuck catalog. We were kids and wanted everything in there. Ask and ye shall receive. We tried it. We didn't get it all. That's all right. 1 Peter 1:3 said this, and I'm almost through. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is that word again? The dead. Cannot connect this holiday without Christ. Just can't. You can change the pronunciation if you want to. Christmas, you know. You write songs, Merry Christmas, you know. Noel, want to say, I mean, all that stuff. But listen, if you are at all, you know anything about God, you know that this holiday cannot be without Christ. Let me give you the last one and I'm done. Christ is in Christmas. Ready, kids? There are gifts. Woo! Yeah! We're at the Waterford Thursday night. I mean, most of those people are at least 65 and older. I start talking about getting presents. Boy, they lit up like a candle. You think, well, my goodness, you know, they've raised their families, their grandkids, but one of them got great-grandkids, some probably got great-great-grandkids, you know, and the time is... No, I start talking about presents and they all went, yeah, I like getting presents. You know, I hate it when Judy and I look at each other in the year and say, you know, we're going to do this right here. That'll be our gift to each other. Wrong. I mean, we may not spend as much. We go give. I'm getting a present. God, if I have to buy it for myself. And right on there from Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you look me in the eye and tell me you don't care to get a present, you're lying. You know that's right. Come on now. Just like the choir sang this morning, the greatest gift in all the world is Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, and I'm through with the text. The Bible said, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these were not just expensive gifts, but they were symbolic gifts. Gold was given to denote his sovereign dominion, wealth of the king. The Bible said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, wealth in every mine. The frankincense speaks of his sinless deity. Did you hear that? Deity. You know what that means? He was 100% God, and he was 100% man, and nobody else can make that claim. And they brought that frankincense, that sweet-smelling savor. Remember in the Old Testament when God had the tabernacle built and he told Aaron and those priests that you go into the outer court and you burn the incense? And God, and these very words are used throughout the Old Testament. And I will count it as a sweet-smelling savor. That is when mom's cooking something good in the kitchen, and all of a sudden you sniff and now you can taste it. Yeah, buddy. But listen, every time God would smell that sweet, say he could taste Christ. And so then there was myrrh. By the way, myrrh is what they brought to the tomb Easter Sunday morning. Myrrh was a gummy kind of a substance that was used to embalm bodies back then. That's why, and it was such that it would keep the body whole. That's why you see mummies, and, you know, we don't do that much anymore with that particular thing, but that's how they would keep these bodies basically intact for centuries. They brought him myrrh. Well, why would you bring a brand new baby, something that you would use at a funeral? Well, because that's why he came. You see, the gold denoted his wealth as a king. Frankincense denoted his worship as a king. And the myrrh denotes the wonder of a king. King that said in the book of the Revelation, I am he who was alive and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. We need to give him our life. That's the gift that he wants from us. We need to give him our love. We need to give him our longing. What do you mean, preacher? Longing? Or the Bible said that we long for his appearing. Those of us that are saved long for his appearing. You know, he gave me the gift of salvation. He's given me gifts throughout my life. But there's one big one yet to come. He's going to give me a brand new body. And then he's going to give me a mansion in heaven and give me eternal life forever. I'll take it. And the good thing about eternal life is you can't break it. Amen? You can't do anything to hurt it. The world will say, you're a fool for believing that mess. You can't hurt it. You can't take it away. I'm longing for the day when Jesus comes. Blessed. We're looking for, longing for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. About that. Folks, don't let the world talk you into crowding Christ out of Christmas. You'll keep him in Christmas.
It can be the best Christmas you've ever had. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful gift that you gave to us on Calvary 2,000 years ago. It all started. Now, we know in the Scripture, doctrinally, it started even before the foundation of the world, before man was ever thought of or made or created. This plan was brought to pass in eternity past. Then at your command, at your behest, 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, a little baby was born to a virgin. No different really from any other baby as far as appearance and how he came and all that goes along with the birth of a child. There was definitely something greatly different about this child. Because he grew up to be perfect and sinless. He grew up to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew up to go to Calvary all the way. He grew up to take my stripes. He grew up to take my sins, my sorrows, and have them nailed to his cross where he died. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. They put him in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Today, he's at the right hand of God. The gospel is complete. It all began with that lowly virgin, named Mary, and her very understanding and very loving fiancé, Joseph, because they were both dust. Lord, help us not to crowd Christ out of Christmas. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, they need him in their heart for them to be happy. Not just at Christmas, but any time of the year. Lord, we offer Christ as the free gift. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, Father, I pray if there's someone lost without Jesus today, They'll step forward and trust Christ. Let us take the Bible and show them how to be a Christian. Others may have needs and burdens. Maybe they know somebody who needs Christ, and they've moved Christ out of their Christmas. May they come and pray for that family, that person, and pray that through their testimony, they'll help them to put Christ back in Christmas where He belongs. Help our world, as bad and wicked and evil as it is, to understand that there are some things they cannot change. They can X Him out, but it doesn't change what Christ did at Christmas. Have your way in this moment of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing, please.